The Necessity of Establishing Schools. February 1, 1898. The inquiry has been made, if the end of all things is at hand, why are you making such large preparations for schools? It is for the very reason that the end of all things is at hand that we are investing means in school buildings. We desire to call the youth away from the cities, where Satan has wrought upon the minds of men under his dominion and power, to work against everything in the line of reform. We would warn them of the nets which Satan has spread to entangle the feet of the unwary. In the fear of God, we would seek to present those things which will draw their minds to things of heaven instead of man-made theories, traditions, maxims, and customs. As co-workers with Jesus Christ, we would draw them away from the world and prepare methods of instruction that will place them in the channel of light. We cannot possibly do this in our cities. We do not come to Kurenbong because we expect to find perfect men and women here, but we come that we may locate our school where temptations will not be so great and so numerous as near the large cities. Here we may appeal to minds and hearts upon which Christ and heavenly intelligences are moving, to turn them from unrighteousness and transgression and every evil indulgence. And we believe that we shall have success. We do not expect to see in every case that which will make our heart rejoice and cause joy among the heavenly angels. We are sorry there are tempters who, by precept and example, work in Satan's lines to confuse minds and encourage poor, weak, sinful souls to dishonor God and ruin their own souls. But we shall not give up the work. We are living amid the perils of the last days, and we want our minds so occupied with eternal realities that they will have a bearing on our life practice. Individually, we need to be under the control of God. We must not take ourselves out of the hands of God to encourage our old dispositions and tendencies that will corrupt our life and character, and, by our own perverse spirit, help stand to dishearten God's workmen. The matter of food needs careful attention. The preparation of food to gratify the taste is laying the foundation for dyspepsia. The less complicated our food is, the less labor it will require to prepare, the less expenditure of strength and time will it take, and the better will it be for parents and children. Those who indulge in the use of tea and coffee are putting a cup to their lips, which is a warring element against the soul. Its influence is injurious. The indulgence of these things excites the nerves to undue activity, and this is always followed by peevishness. The excitement it produces is followed by clouds and depression. Thus it is with every narcotic. Tobacco is a slow poison. How much harm it does the entire being is not, and never can be, realized until it is entirely discarded. There is no soundness in the nerves, nor health in the bones. This evil leads to the use of wine and strong drink, and thus, step by step, the entire being is deranged, and man cannot give to God perfect service. Sin in eating and drinking is like a malignant poison, affecting every nerve and muscle of the human body. There is not a single organ but is injured through these unsanctified indulgences. And these hurtful things create an influence that retards a healthful experience in religious things. The moral health suffers. Iniquitous practices prevail and weigh down the spiritual health. The passions are stimulated to excessive activity. The married life is so profaned that thousands upon thousands sacrifice their vital forces upon the altar of lust. The whole being is degraded until it is impossible for truth to be received into the soul temple. This is just as Satan designed it should be, that the understanding might become darkened and the spiritual vision so blurred that truth could not be recognized. If habits of self-indulgence are continued, the most earnest warnings and messages of God will have no effect. A powerful influence is at work to make the truth of none effect. Men are in carnal security. They have their lamps as had the wise virgins, but they have not the oil of grace in their vessels with their lamps, and when the bridegroom comes, they will find themselves unready. The whole soul is sick beyond remedy, and they find too late that they have a diseased character.
Men need to wake up on this subject. Says the Apostle, "If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Romans 8, verse 13. To live after the flesh is to allow the sensual appetites to rule the being. In time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ephesians 2, verse 2. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, verse 16 to 21. Let everyone who has had the light of truth shining upon his pathway purify his mind by obedience to the truth. Nothing but the life-giving power of the gospel can remedy souls enfeebled by selfish, degrading passions. The aid of the great physician is needed to restore the moral image of God in man. The healing fountain is opened before humanity. There is help for everyone in God, and all must lay hold of that help. All the quickening, life-giving power of the Holy Spirit is needed. There is great need of taking heed to the warnings of God. There are many, very many, who have chosen their own ways and are filled with their own devices. Their perceptions are clouded. Their minds delight in their abominations. While cries of distress arise on every hand, there is heard the cry of vanity and variety from every class of society. This continual chase after pleasure reveals a longing for something to satisfy the cravings of the hungry soul. But that which absorbs the mind in these last days is not satisfying. Men spend their money and feed their souls on that which is not bread. Nothing but the bread of life will satisfy the hunger of the soul. Those who drink deep at the fountain of selfish pleasure are often deceived. They mistake hilarity for strength, and when the excitement ceases, their inspiration ends, and, disappointed, deceived, deluded, they are left deep in despondency and despair. Oh, what madness, what folly it is to trifle with one's soul! Wherefore, says the prophet, do ye spend money for that which is not meat, and your strength for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Isaiah 55, verse 2. Here we have wise counsel. Will we heed it? Here is healed what is the sustenance of the soul in pursuit of immortality. Will we hearken unto God? The word of His grace is the manna from heaven to all who will eat of it in faith. In Christ Jesus is fullness of joy. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them to drink of the rivers of thy pleasure. Psalm 36, verse 8. The world, under Satan's training, has become qualified to do the work which he has purposed: place rebellion on the judgment seat,
and summon the Creator of the heavens and the earth to be judged according to man's judgment. Satanic agencies confront God with the will of man. In the last great conflict, men will attempt to array God before their judgment seat and pronounce sentence against him, judging his law by the standard of the world. But the supreme ruler will judge every man according to his works. All heaven has been watching for this movement. Then everyone will have an opportunity to choose on whose side he will stand. Everyone is working out his own destiny at the present time. God brings the light of his word before the world, but there are those who will choose rebellion rather than obedience, and this decision will be for all time. The sinner voluntarily turns from a "Thus saith the Lord" to the deceiving representations of Satan. Has not God spoken? Has he not presented before human minds the motives that are to bear upon human hearts? In their resistance, they are rebelling against the word and power and authority of God, saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Luke 19, verse 14.
And you are taking sides. A reward is offered you if you are obedient, connected with God as his sons and daughters. On the other hand, he's presented the judgment scene. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, the judgment will sit, and the books will be opened, and everyone will be judged out of those things that are written in the books. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Matthew 25, verse 32-33. Have you no dread of being placed with the first great rebel? It is because of the great temptations offered to the youth in their associations that we have had urged upon us the necessity of withdrawing from the city and opening a way that the youth may have an opportunity to employ their time in physical and mental culture, that they may avoid the infatuation that is causing men to gratify their desire for pleasure, and in thus doing, opening the door to Satan's temptations. The world is to be again destroyed as before the flood, not by water, but by fire. We read the scripture, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed." Luke 17, verse 26-30. Fathers and mothers must awake to their responsibilities, lest by their own course of action, they encourage rebellion in their children. We feel to the depths of our being the peril that meets us in these last days. But the Lord sees. He understands all our necessities. These are the motives we have in working to bring all we can to Jesus. We are anxious to establish our school, that all who wish to become students may have an opportunity. Left to yourselves, you will never exercise your reason correctly. But the Lord will not leave you to yourselves. He follows you by his Holy Spirit. He thrusts the subject upon you. Is it unpleasant to you to be urged to come and put forth every effort? We do not ask those to come who feel they have no need. We want those who feel their great necessity and who desire to be workers.